It's good to be with you, friends, once again, and I bring you the greetings of the church at Rattleston in Suffolk, which I have the privilege of pastoring. It's good to see familiar faces again. It's also good to see some new faces, and that is a great encouragement. As Mark has indicated, we will be continuing our studies in 1 Peter. When I've been with you in recent months, we've been making a start through this wonderful epistle, and this evening we'll look at verse 3, but just so we can see the underlying context, and of course what God says in his word is more important in many ways than what someone may say about what is in God's word. We need to hear God speaking directly to us. So we'll read 1 Peter chapter 1, and we'll read from verse 1 as far as verse 9. 1 Peter chapter 1, from the first verse, let us hear the word of our Lord together. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the strangers scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, through sanctification of the Spirit, unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honour and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom, having not seen, ye love, in whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Amen. Thus reads God's holy and infallible word. God's people have many things against them. Indeed, there is an abundance of forces opposing their pathway to the celestial city. Everything around them militates against their carrying on that pathway they have begun on that narrow way that leads to life. There are so many discouragements that come with living apart from and at odds with a society that is round about us in this world. It can be a lonely and difficult journey. Why not just dissolve back into the surrounding culture? That would be the easy choice to make, wouldn't it? The devil, of course, along with this, comes and insidiously suggests to us that all our troubles would go away if only we stopped following Jesus Christ. But within the heart of every one of God's true children is that desire and that impulse. We know we must keep going. We dare not turn aside. We dare not give up. But what is it that enables a man or a woman, a child for that matter, to wake up each day and not to turn back on the path that we have started on, but to keep going? What enlivens your desires and mine to keep on keeping on, and not to capitulate to the trials, the persecution, the suffering of various kinds that we meet within this world? Well, in a word, the answer to those questions is hope. Hope. Paul says, doesn't he, in Romans 8, that we are saved by hope. It's one of the most precious words in the entire Christian vocabulary, because without hope, we are sunk. We have no salvation. Without hope, there is no reason to continue on the Christian pathway, no reason at all. But there it is. It's there in our text this evening. We have been begotten again unto a lively hope. In big golden letters, there is hope for the Christian believer. And Peter here opens his letter proper. The first two verses we've seen is really him referencing himself, describing who he's writing to, and bringing this benediction, this blessing from God, grace to you and peace be multiplied. But now begins the body of his letter, and it's actually one sentence that runs from verse 3 all the way down to the end of verse 12. Paul is somewhat famous for his long sentences. Well, Peter joins him here, but this evening we'll just look at verse 3 and the focus that Peter brings to the scattered pilgrims in Asia Minor there, to the wonderful hope of the gospel, and particularly the God who has brought it to us. So taking as our theme this evening, adoring the God who restores hope, adoring the God who restores hope, I want to notice with you, first of all, the source of this hope, where it comes from. Secondly, bringing us to this hope, how we come to experience this hope. And then thirdly and finally, the quality of this hope. The source of our hope, bringing us to hope, and the quality of our hope. Peter opens his letter with a tremendous note of praise and adoration. Blessed be, he says, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, in saying that God is blessed, Peter does not mean that we can in any way bless God in the way that he blesses us. The last bit of verse 2 we saw was a blessing. It is God putting his blessing upon his people. And God's blessings towards us affect us for good. We have all benefited today. Even the ordinary, common blessings of life we might talk about that everybody in this world experiences, because God causes the sun to shine on the just and on the unjust. We experience his blessings. They affect us positively. But our blessings of God are really just declarations of his blessed nature. Because as Paul says in Romans chapter 9 and verse 5, that God is blessed forever. Romans 9 verse 5, whose are the fathers and of whom concerning the flesh Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. The verb to bless means to speak well of. And so when Peter here says, blessed be, or blessed is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, he is saying we are going to speak as well as we possibly can of God. We cannot add to his glory or to his blessing in any way. He is blessedly perfect and perfectly blessed. And you cannot improve on perfection, can you? Rather, Peter wishes to exalt God's name and will go on to explain the many reasons why God is blessed because of what he has done. Notice with me particularly the name of God that Peter gives is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is how God is particularly revealed in the New Testament. There is a progression, isn't there, of the revelation of God's name and his being. Remember Moses at the burning bush, and the Lord says, by my name, Jehovah, I was not known to the fathers. There's a progression of revelation. When we come to the New Testament, he's revealed as the Father, the God and Father of Jesus Christ, who has come as